10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Well, it sounds like my intro stopped for some reason. Yeah, I could continue the countdown. I could say 4, 3, 2, 1, but I think you guys all know that by now. You are listening to Out and About on KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And I have, for the last 2 weeks, forgotten to make this announcement. And so it's probably not appropriate anymore, but I will. Patrick for Pride for Peace wrote me to say, plant a flower day. I would appreciate it. And so would my co-founder, Joshua, for it happens to be his birthday too. So that was Patrick from Pride for Peace saying, plant a flower. And, maybe it's too late to plant a flower. I don't know. So, sorry about that, Patrick. Been busy time. We have in the studio with us, guess what? Some of my actor friends. That never happens here. That is never a thing. But we're talking about sipping and sonnets today, which is, it's going to be a fundraiser for Stage Left Theater in conjunction with Pride Spokane. We'll probably talk a little bit about some more Pride stuff and Stage Left are doing. And, just as full disclosure, I am on the board of Stage Left. It is a nonprofit, so I'm not getting paid any money. But just the accolades that you would give me is all I'm in it for. So we have Skylar Motor, B. Aaron, and Cord Aaron. And then we also have Preston Loomer with us today. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Out and About.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you here. And we're going to talk about this event, sipping. Now, at different points, it's been called Drunk Shakespeare. It's never been called Barfing with the Bard.
No, nothing.
Like that. We've done sips and sonnets, but now it's sipping and sonnets. How did you guys come up with that name?
Oh man.
Was it just alliteration?
If I'm being completely honest with you, we were having a hard time finding the name. So we pulled up ChatGPT and we saw what it could give us. And yeah, it just kind of found its own life.
You know, I love the ChatGPT.
I do too.
It's fun.
It is.
I did an interview with Hunter S. Thompson here one day using that. And you know, there's such sticklers like, what would Hunter S. Thompson have to say about Spokane, Washington? And it came back, Hunter S. Thompson is dead. He has nothing to say about it. I'm like, well, okay, all right. If Hunter S. Thompson were still alive today, what would he have to say? And so you have to kind of play their little game. But it was great. I had a great conversation with AI Hunter S. Thompson on the air. It was fun. So why don't we talk? No, first of all, it's March 30th is the date. You want to just give a little bit more of the background of how people can get tickets? And we'll keep repeating this. Sure. How people can get tickets and where they can find out more, whatever.
They can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, Stage Left Theater. They could get on our website, that's stagelefttheater.org. And all of our information for ticketing is on there, and you'll find a little tab there for our special events.
Okay, sounds good. And let's say, I'm sure there's probably the phone lines are jammed right now, but while they're waiting for that busy signal on the internet to clear, they're probably wondering, oh my gosh, what am I signing up for? Why am I even doing this? What is the format like?
Oh man, so you're signing up for a night of watching some actors just have a fun night. There's not many times where, you know, artists can kind of just throw things at the wall and see what happens. And that's what the night is. It's an invite for the audience to have fun with us and interact with us.
Okay, so they walk in the door. Somebody will be there to greet them, I would imagine.
Yeah. Check their ticket status.
Check their ticket status.
We have some VIP tickets that come with some special
perks? Would you say perks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No swag. There's no swag. No swag perks.
No.
No swag.
No swag. But there are perks.
There are perks.
Yes, our VIP ticketed members get a little bit extra audience participation from the actors. They, some of the acts will be walking through the VIP section. They'll be maybe, you know, jesting the audience and trying to get a rise out of them. That's really what you're signing up for. And included in the cost of your ticket is a drink voucher as well. So
in that complimentary spin on the wheel.
That's right.
Okay, so let's talk about the wheel. As I think most of Shakespeare's bigger plays had a wheel that was spun, mm-hmm. as well as a ghost.
Yeah.
In most of them. So how would this, what is this wheel? What does it portend? What does it mean?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And you're going to luckily have your beautiful host, Preston, and be there to help you work through things. But it's going to be a nice big wheel that you're going to spin, whatever drink you land on.
Okay.
You can choose an actor's name.
Okay.
That's going to be available for you to see, and you can buy the drink for that actor, and they'll actively drink that drink on stage while they're performing.
Well, but no, like ventriloquism required.
You know, we tried that last year, got a little dicey. We're thinking about pulling back from that.
That's good. That's good, because you don't want to confuse people too much.
No.
Yeah. So I will leave the dummy at home.
Yeah.
So then. So then somebody would maybe see somebody getting a little tipsy, and the next person pays for a spin, and then they say, "Oh, I'm going to have so and so drink a drink."
Yep, I spun the wheel. I got a gin and tonic. I see you on stage.
Right.
I'm like, yes, I want to give Maeve that gin and tonic.
Yeah.
While Maeve's performing.
While I'm performing. And I'm drinking it. I'm sipping. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my lines. Mm-hmm. Theatrical lines.
Yes.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
None of that nonsense.
No. None of that invited.
None of that. And then, is there a maximum? I mean, could somebody just spin the wheel 12 times and then they're going to make me drink 12 drinks?
So it is by donation. So however, if you want to give us a lot of money, give us the money. We are regulating our actors and keeping them safe. That's no one's worry on themselves. But as far as give us your money.
Because it sounds like, has everybody done this before? Here, are you the only one who've done this before, Skylar?
I am bringing this project over from the last one, yes.
Okay, so what, some lessons learned from the last one. What kind of lessons?
That even though people are adults, they also still like to have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy that no one got injured in the last one, because speaking for myself, I definitely blacked out for the first time. So that's what we're trying to avoid. Keep everyone safe. Let everyone have fun. Make sure that they can perform.
And usually, I guess, as an actor, you go into this thinking, well, at some point, I'm probably not going to remember my lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just something that, you're going to, that horrible feeling in your stomach.
Exactly. And that's why this is such a great, event, because that worry, we have two beautiful hosts who are there to catch anyone who.
I'm looking at both of them right now.
They're fantastic. Yeah, we lucked out.
And Preston, you, I was at the rehearsal the other day, because I'm in this thing too.
You
sounds like there's maybe a little bit of a narrative being formed around this.
We're working on a loose structure of sort of, I have a lot of Shakespeare in my background.
Right. Why don't you tell our audience what your last role in, which I think you stole the show.
I was just Polonius in Bright Comet's Hamlet, which happened right here, literally like
right there,
50 feet from where we're at right now. And then before that, I was Guildenstern in a different production of Hamlet.
Oh, that's right, in the summer.
I've done a bunch of that. I've been doing Shakespeare since I was a teenager. But we sort of set up this loose narrative of B is up here, kind of not quite ready to give it her all, and we're going to work her into learning how Shakespeare works so that she can perform.
Oh, nice. So it's going to be a lot like a learning experience.
Sure, yeah. And we're going to take the audience along with us. And maybe some of the audience members that are there might not know a ton about Shakespeare, so they're going to learn along with me.
Kind of like a magic school bus without a designated driver. That's that is going to be cool. Yeah. That's going to be cool.
And in a way, if you think about it, it's almost touching on how Shakespeare should be taught in school anyways. We have some actors who are going to have their scripts with them, and but they're going to be moving around and interacting, and that's how it should be done.
So. Yeah, that sounds good. So, we also have with us, we also have William Shakespeare with us in the studio. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
And how do you feel about people drinking while they're doing your works, your life works?
Why wouldn't you? Libations should be plenty during wonderful times of art.
Okay. Now, I had read an article a long time ago that Shakespeare might have preferred intoxicants of the hemp variety. Can you verify that?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Okay, because back then, it wasn't legal yet, but it wasn't illegal yet either, so...
A moral gray,
which is one of my favorite colors. that shade... Oh. Beautiful,
Chef's
beautiful.
Kiss.
Better than mauve, even. Or chartreuse.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask you, does anybody want to talk about what their favorite work of Bill's is here? Or, I'm sure there's hard to pick, but.
I will go to my grave saying that King Lear is the best thing that he has ever written.
Mm. Okay.
That's my favorite play, end of discussion. Like, I think it has so much and it's overlooked. Because it's not the flashiest of his tragedies. It's like really, really heavy and morose, but it has like multiple like wrestling/knife fights. It has a guy getting his eyes gouged out. It has a lot of backstabbing and then just deep, like really big, powerful characters. And Lear himself is like one of those roles that you can't do it until you're a certain age where doing it is very difficult.
Oh, yeah, because your memory, believe me, it's harder and harder to memorize.
Yeah, and I've seen probably more productions of that than I have of anything else.
Wow. So, do you think there's a chance that maybe ever come into? I mean, we're gonna do it.
I mean, if I'm still cognizant at 65, we'll talk about it then.
I'll be 64 this year, so I'm telling you, it's getting tougher and tougher. The wiring is starting to become a little bit frayed, and I'm enjoying the ride. So yeah. So
that's part of what we're going to work on is how to tap some of that, because Shakespeare's got some tricks that you can. He's actually easier to memorize than people think.
Okay. Oh yeah. Good. Okay. You're going to talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I might have to stay sober just so I can learn something. And Skylar, how about you?
Oh man. So I have two answers to this really quick.
Okay.
My favorite is Macbeth, which funny enough is actually going to be happening at Stage Left.
Yes. So yeah. Rehearsals in June.
Yeah.
Or auditions in June.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone needs to keep their eye out on that. But I think overall Taming of the Shrew, Much Ado About Nothing, that storyline is the best storyline that he has written, because it is one that has been repeated how many times in how many different movies with how many different characters.
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah.
That's the thing. I think sometimes when people go to Shakespeare, they're like, oh, this is such a ripoff of this movie. It's like, no.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah. But, that's a nice thing about Shakespeare, too, is that the lingo's... you have to pay attention to what's being said, but also the acting and the familiarity of the stories can really drive, can hold your attention and keep you posted on what's going on. And that's going to be the beauty about this event, I think, is that nobody's going to, there's really no continuity of a storyline here.
Yeah.
So, other than the downfall of some people on a stage, and that's all going to be improv'd. What was the other one? You said...
That was the two.
Oh, okay.
The story, Much Ado, Taming of the Shrew is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
One of the, whichever one, and then... Macbeth.
Right, okay. Okay. B, how about you?
Well, my background is mostly in music. So I haven't had much time to really delve into the works of Shakespeare to form an opinion or a favorite. But I am excited to be a part of this project in the aspect that it gives me an opportunity to learn along the way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things that come from a classical education in theater. And I think Shakespeare plays a really big role in that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And for those of you who might have seen Be in Fun Home. Yeah, that was your singing is spectacular. I'm sure there have been musical versions of Shakespeare, right? Other than the Gilligan's Island.
There's a Love's Labour's Lost, but there's also a very famous Romeo and Juliet was turned into West Side Story.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. It is the same. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And how about you, Bill? Any favorites of yours? Or am I asking, is that too hard of a question? Any of your babies do you like more than the others?
Such a complicated question.
I know, and I'm sorry. And you don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
As Cord, I like Taming of the Shrew.
Okay, all right. Everybody, we've just opened up a wall into going on here. Step inside the studio. Yes, okay. Well, speaking of opening up a wall, we're going to do our 20-minute business because I've got a fistful of questions here. We're going to play a little music and going into that. And then we're going to do our stuff here and we'll be right back. Let's hopefully this works. The Great Pacific North. Northwest begins right here. Spokane, Washington. 50 years ago, the world came to Spokane. Come share a world of excitement. They can ride over the falls. So much to see and to do. You could never see it all. KYRS wants to hear your stories. Keep your memories alive and share your Expo 74 experiences. Go to spospo74.com to learn more. That's spospo74.com.
music, I want you to tune in every Tuesday, 2 to 4 on KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio. If you haven't heard what Spokane's local music scene is all about, you're missing out. Join me on Tuesdays, 2 to 4.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for March 25th through the 28th. Monday, open jam at Jackson Street, Itchy Kitty and others at Pacific Avenue, open mic at Black Label, Che, Amy Dorval, Light and Mirrors, and Nathan Chartrey at the Big Dipper, and open mic at the Red Room. Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street, Wild Party and Buddha Trixie at the Chameleon, and Jerry Lee and the Groove at Zola. Wednesday, open mic at the Downtown Spokane Public Library, Jovi and the Honey Chuckle at Iolite Lounge, Carly Osika at Zeke's Pizza, live band karaoke and open mic at Nine Bar and Bistro, Pink Fuzz, Children of Atom, and Ware at the Big Dipper, open mic at the Checkerboard, and the Roommates Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Ron Green with Todd Hornby at the Steam Plant, the Craig Catlett Trio at Arborcrest, Deb the Wolf at McCracken's, Blues Jam at Chan's Red Dragon, the Larson Group at Emma Roo's, and Fire from Ashes at Bolo's. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Your radio station, KYRS, actively supports the diversity of the Spokane area, celebrating the many voices that make up our region. Our volunteer-run station hosts a variety of shows that feature otherwise unheard perspectives and opinions. In a sense, KYRS is working against institutional racism, sexism, homophobia, and other forms of oppression simply by existing in opposition to mainstream media. Please make a pledge today by texting Give KYRS to the number 44321. Your support keeps KYRS operating during a time when our community needs free and open media the most.
Your support is crucial for parentheses, insert your show name, for Out and About. A contribution of $10 ensures uninterrupted streaming, allowing you to enjoy Thin Air Community Radio wherever you are 24/7. Explore our programming schedule on kyrs.org and kindly support Out and About by making an online donation at kyrs.org or texting Give KYRS to 44321. Thank you for helping us thrive. And thrive is what we are doing here on Out and About. For those of you tuning in right now, you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane, 88.1, 92.3 FM. And I'm talking to my friends from the theater who we are doing a, and I, when I say we, I'm actually involved in this. Sipping and sonnets. I just want to say drunk Shakespeare. I just really want to say it. It's just, okay, all right. So when people get there, are there going to be any kind of specialty drinks for this thing at all?
So we will have drinks with special names on them. Like there will be a theme to the night.
Okay.
You won't just be getting a Moscow Mule. You'll be getting a, I don't know, Bard's River.
Bard's
I don't
beer.
You know, yeah, yeah. Something fancy. Something.
So I didn't know that was the case. So I came up with some names.
Oh my gosh, please.
So, so first of all, you could have All's Well That Ends Well drinks. So just, you know, you could just that you, when people say what kind of liquor they want, just I want the All's
yes.
Well That Ends Well. You could have a Hamlet Gimlet.
Oh my gosh.
But it could be a, just called a Gamlet.
Oh my God.
And then if somebody wants a beer, you could have Henry Weinhard's the Fifth.
Stop.
And this one, this is not an alcoholic beverage really, but it could be. An orange Julius Caesar.
Those are the best when they're on.
I need to take a picture of that.
I think
list.
Orange Julius Caesar would be. I
orange Julius Caesar.
I feel like quenching my thirst right now.
Yeah.
And then for those of you who are not, drinking, you could have a King Lear near beer.
Man, those are good.
You could have a MacBev.
MacBev.
Or for those who are superstitious about it, you could call it the Scotch Play.
Stop.
Love it.
I'm writing that down.
Okay. You know, everyone, I forgot to tell everybody, just save your applause till the end. Please, please. Those of you at home as well, and keep your hands on the steering wheels. One wheel, just one wheel. And then again, for somebody who isn't, I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this one that I wrote, but this is if you're not drinking either, you could have a Perrier Eclise.
Oh my God.
My favorite, I think, would be the Taming of the Screwdriver.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, that was. And then, you know, one of my, one that I'm doing from Titus Andronicus, I have Titus, I'm Drunk, I Guess.
Oh, that one's my favorite.
Yeah, that's pretty good, huh?
I love that.
And then, and then for those of you who are kind of drinking on the sly, you could have a 12th. NyQuil. And that's just off the top of my
head. That's great. I love it.
So, yeah. So, anyway, that's, you know what? Those of you listening at home, this is the kind of quality programming that you tune in for every Tuesday at 4 p.m. There's a lot of love, a lot of love in this writing, and a lot of love in the room, really. Let's talk a little bit about this audience. Are you guys going to do anything to the audience? Or if you come, I mean, I know people who, there are some people who would like to get involved, like to come up there and have an, but then some people are like, they go to the comedy show and they're like, oh, I sure hope the comedian doesn't make fun of my glasses and stuff like that. I mean, how do people, you know, how would you put this event in there?
Yeah, so we're going to keep with burlesque rules. And for those who don't know, there is no touching. No actors will actively touch you unless you two are friends.
Except for your heart.
Yeah. Exactly. Unless there's a plan that's been made, and that's expected from both sides. So please, no touching of our actors. The audience participation will be a lot of... Shakespeare is about... bringing the audience in. So it's going to be a lot of what we're doing right now. It's conversation. It's going to be a lot of the actors going up to the table and asking you, like, what do you think? And waiting for an answer that you're not going to give. And then the actor will go, you know, mess with other tables. But that's what that kind of looks like.
Okay. So it's going to be safe for everybody, but that doesn't preclude people from having fun and participating and learning about Shakespeare too.
Exactly. No one's going to be pulled up on the stage without some forewarning or planning.
There's no, not going to be any hypnosis.
No. Not this time. That was above budget.
Well, the thing is, you might not even be aware of it.
Oh, see, you're giving our secrets away, babe.
Oh, dang it. Ah, oh, shoot.
Dang it.
Well, we already know there's not going to be any ventriloquism that we know of.
It's pretty good.
Thanks. How do people get tickets to this thing? I mean, by now, I feel like people are pretty hungry for this event. I think we've set the stage, so to speak. Mm-hmm. How do people get tickets?
You can get on our website. That's stagelefttheater.org.
And there's a little tab there that says tickets. And you'll click that and look for the event Sipping and Sonnets. And there are two types of tickets you can buy. General admission. Those are $20. And the VIP tickets, which are $30.
Okay. And none of those are like groundling positions. Everybody gets a chair. And now, you know, were the groundlings, did they stand or did they sit on the ground?
Oh, they stood.
Did they stand?
They stood. They were in a pit in front of the stage. But they also got to throw oranges at actors who were bad, so it came with perks.
Yeah, that would be good. Mm-hmm. That would be good. Well, good. If you're on the throwing end of things, I suppose.
I'm going to assume the burlesque rules apply to throwing fruit as well.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. I've heard of them do the tip roses, but I've never heard of them do the oranges, so we'll stay away from them.
Oh, oranges would hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know some guys broke up. This one time in band camp, I knew these guys that broke a, or in the Air Force, they launched an orange with some rubber tubing, and it went right through the windshield of one of our trucks.
Oh my God.
So
that's wild.
Yeah. So that's it's a lesson out there, everybody.
That's so good to know.
Yeah. So now why don't we talk a little bit about what else you guys are going to be, what else is going on in your lives? What else is, you know, what other projects are you involved in? And it doesn't have, necessarily have to be theater. Preston, you want to kick it off? Or I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but we've got a little time to kill here.
Yeah. My day job is as a teacher, and I'm gearing into spring break next week for school, which I'm very thankful for because I need it. The week after Drunk Shakespeare, I'm involved in the Reader's Theater thing at the Civic. So I'm doing two shows. I'm a part of View from a Bridge, and then I am in some original works by Molly Allen and Co.
Oh, cool!
So
very cool.
That'll happen. I think it's one. I think mine are the 7th and the 21st, somewhere
okay.
in there.
Is that upstairs?
Downstairs. I'll be in the studio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. All right. Skylar and Skylar is also Stage Left's new social media maven.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been a great opportunity, and I'm very excited about it. Outside of running some accounts for Stage Left and for my job, I'm currently doing Mr. Burns with Bright Comet Theater.
Oh, that's right.
At Stage Left.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Have you guys started rehearsals on that?
We have, yeah.
Because I was going to say, but yeah, you can't do them there.
No. Luckily, we have a really nice spot that we're using right now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I read that play. I auditioned for it too, but I was really, I was like, when I was auditioning, I'm like, I kind of would rather see this play than be in it.
it's a bit of a fever dream.
yeah, it's really cool. For those of you who are Simpsons or post-apocalyptic story fans, I guess, that'd be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And B, I forgot to mention, you are the general manager of Stage Left as well.
I am, yes.
Yeah. And what else you got going?
Coming up at Stage Left, we have a gala and musical review coming up. That'll be May 15th. And that's going to showcase some singers from Stage Left's past who have performed at Stage Left in the last couple of seasons. So looking forward to that. That's going to be a really great fundraising event for us. Yeah, Mr. Burns is coming up just before that, and personally, I have some projects coming up. I will be dancing in South Pacific with SVST. A lot of people know me for my singing, know me as a musician, but I'm also a dancer. I dance the hula. I was raised in Hawaii and was classically trained and all of that, so... That's another little fun thing I'm working on. And then after that, I will be assistant directing Pippin at Stage Left. And auditions for that are in May.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yeah, and that, the new theater isn't quite built yet out there, is it?
No, not quite. They're in the process of building.
Okay.
It seems to be that they'll be open by next summer.
Okay, very cool.
We'll see what the future holds. Very excited for them to be up and running and
to see what
they can bring to Little Spokane.
Yeah, an amazing facility.
Yeah.
It's going to be
state of the art.
Yeah, that's going to be so cool. And Cord, how about you?
I am currently on the board for the Spokane Children's Theater.
Okay.
We recently had a break-in, so I have been helping with the repairs on that and getting ready for Tarzan. That's coming up in May.
Yeah, and Cord, you build sets.
I do.
You build some. For I Thought I Knew You, that set is amazing, beautiful. You know, you kind of want to move into it.
That's kind of always the goal. With How I Thought I Knew You, I did the carpeting on that one. I have real life technical skills outside of this, like in the theater. So it really helps to bring that to the table in my designs.
Yeah. That sounds good. Well, let's tell the folks one more time how they can get tickets. And then maybe when we come back, we can do, do you want to do a little bit of Shakespeare? Okay. Yeah. Let's. All right. Yeah. Okay. So how do we get tickets?
You can head to our website, that's stageleftheater.org, and click the tab that says tickets and look for our event Sipping and Sonnets. You'll find two different ticket types there, one general admission and one VIP, starting at $20 up to $30.
Okie doke, and we'll be right back.
So good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone.
Saturday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. for Saturday Night Databed. Come hang out with your host, Christian Adams, while he spins some trippy scenarios from Aphex Twin to Boards of Canada to whatever the heck is going on, man, whatever. KYRS. Thin Air. Community Radio.
KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Thank you.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Welcome back, everybody. I apologize about the music. I don't know why, but my laptop is stopping like 10 seconds into a song, and then Bob Dylan was kind of super slow on that for Rainy Day Woman number 12 and 35. But I don't know what's going on, but I know I'm here. I know I'm with you. That's all that matters. And I am with my friends here from the production of Sipping and Sonnets, and basically a show where people's actors are going to be on stage. People are going to, they have prepared materials of Shakespeare, and then they're going to be, drinks will be purchased for them, of which they will partake of those drinks, and then upon partaking them, will experience effects of intoxication and try to do their lines. So that's what, I think that kind of says it, in a, well, not in a nutshell, in like a lot of words. But Preston's going to give us a little bit, a little taste of what we can expect from this. So
yeah,
go for it, Preston.
Say, this is not the one I'm doing. I'm going to save that one. You have to show up to see the okay. goods. This is Edmund from King Lear. For those who don't know the show, Edmund is the illegitimate son of the Duke of Gloucester, and he's basically been told his whole life, you don't get anything because you're illegitimate. And his brother, who he thinks he's better than, gets everything. And so this is sort of his introductory moment. Thou, nature, art my goddess. To thy law my services are bound. Wherefore should I stand in the plague of custom and permit the curiosity of nations to deprive me? For that I am some 12 or 14 moonshines lag of a brother? Why, bastard? Wherefore, base, when my dimensions are as well compact, my mind is generous, and my shape is true as honest madam's issue, why brand they us with base? With baseness, the bastardy, base, base! Who in the lusty stealth of nature take more composition and fierce quality than doth within a dull, stale, tired bed go to the creating of a whole tribe of fops got between sleep and wake. Well then, legitimate Edgar, I must have your land. Our father's love is to the bastard Edmund as to the legitimate. Fine word, legitimate. Well, my legitimate, if this letter speed in my invention thrive, Edmund the base shall top the legitimate. I grow. I prosper. And now, gods, stand up for bastards.
Now, for those of you listening at home, imagine that somebody doing that in a car being driven off a cliff, because that could be what happens in this production, because there will be alcohol involved. Okay, Skylar, you have one?
Yeah.
Okay,
what do you got? Me and Preston did a deal where we chose each other's.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
This can be no trick. The conference was sadly born. They have the truth of this from Hero. They seem to pity the lady. It seems her affections have their full bent. Love me. Why? It must be requited. I hear how I am censored. They say I will bear myself proudly if I perceive the love come from her. They say, too, that she will rather die than give any sign of affection. I did not think to marry. I must not seem proud. Happy are they that hear their distractions and can put them to mending. They say the lady is fair. 'Tis a truth I can bear them witness and virtuous. 'Tis so. I cannot reprove it. And wise, but for loving me by my troth, it is no addition of her wit, nor no great argument of her folly, for I will be horribly in love with her. I may chance have some odd quirks and remnants of wit broken on me because I have railed so long against marriage, but doth not the appetite alter. A man loves the meat in his youth that cannot endure in his age. Shall quips and sentences of this paper bullets of the brain awe a man from the career of his humor? No. The world must be peopled. When I say I would die a bachelor, I did not think I should live till I were married. Here comes Beatrice. By this day, she, a fair lady, I do spy some marks of love in her.
Yay. Anybody else?
Oh, I'm not.
No. Okay. Okay. That's fair enough. That's okay. Those were both good. And that could give people a taste of this. If you can just imagine a little bit of slurring involved in this, perhaps. So, you know, anybody have anything weird happen to them in a production that they had to overcome? Something that was funny or hard or crazy happened?
Actually, so in the production that we were in,
there
was a set piece that was moved, and I had a big cooler in my arm, so I couldn't see exactly where it had been moved, and I ended up flipping entirely over the cinder block onto the ground with my cooler empty, with empty cans in it, and I had to...
I when that happened, at first I thought that that was something brilliant that you had thought of. That was my first reaction.
Yes, it was.
And then, then it was like, oh my God, is Skylar okay? I mean, but the first one was like, that was really good. And then it was, oh no. It took me a while to catch on. Anybody, anybody else?
We had a pretty, this is a long time ago when I was in high school. I did a production of Neil Simon's Broadway Bound, and the set had this sort of house facade, an interior of a living room. And at one point, there's a part where me and another character get into like, just a playful scuffle, and I throw a pillow at him, and he ducked and then stood up and threw it through what should be a wall. And we just both stood there for a minute, and the crowd's going crazy, and I just turned to him and I was like, we gotta have Dad get that hole fixed. Like, how do you justify the fact that the pillow just went through three walls? So yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's good, that's good. Be anything you want to admit to?
Gosh. How do I pick just one? Well, most recently, during Fun Home, there was a show where the set had been forgotten to be preset before the start of the show.
Okay.
So us actors were kind of scrambling in the back trying to figure out who's going to move what, get to the spot we're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
But we did it, and we pulled it off without a hitch. Nobody knew any better. The audience was none the wiser that that was
all
not
such
intentional.
Pros. So. I mean, yeah, that's it. That makes a big
difference.
The show
must go on.
The show must go on. Mm. I had one, probably the first one I had was in eighth grade. In a production of Little Abner. And as an aside, I had been going to rehearsals for this in the afternoon. My parents really didn't know what was going on. I just would go. And then, like, the night, my mom tells the story, the night, the day of the production, I said, hey, do you want to come and see the play I'm in? And so I played Romeo Scrag, and I was like, this, the curtains open, and I'm like, I'm on the stage by myself, and I just start singing. And my mom says she just wanted to sink in her chair and disappear. That's not, this kind of thing is not done in our family. We're supposed to just kind of be quiet and disappear, you know?
Yeah.
So, but one of the scenes is, right, one of the initial scenes was there was a Kickapoo Joy Juice. So you're supposed to, in the Broadway production of it, they would drink some, and then there were like the pot, like fireworks poppers, and then they would throw them on the ground, wipe their face, and you know, that was kind of the end of it. There might have been a line with that, but they decided, because, you know, we're in junior high, they didn't want to have any pyrotechnics involved. Smart on their part. So they put a whistle in the cup. And so I was supposed to drink and then blow on the whistle. So they had, the teacher had taped the hole of the whistle shut when she taped the whistle into the cup. And so I do my line, and then I go to blow on it, and nothing is happening. I'm and so... So then I just reverted into Three Stooges moment, and, you know, grabbed my throat, fell on the floor, did the curly round and round, did all that stuff, and then came up and said, smooth. You know, but and then she was mad at me, like, why did you change that? Why did you, because you're prop didn't work. That's why.
Yep.
So anyway, yeah. So that was, and then on Much Ado, when I was getting towards the end and getting pretty complacent,
yeah.
Me and Nathan were back there, and he was supposed to bring me in chains at the end as one of the bad guys, and we're just talking, and we're like about stuff in the green room, and we realize, oh my gosh. And we missed our cue by about a good 3 or 4 seconds.
It wasn't,
I think,
too long, but it was long enough.
Oh yeah, it was long enough.
It was long enough.
Slap with the handcuffs on, and then yeah, and I forget, somebody kind of covered up with a funny line.
You all played it off so well.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was fun. Getting arrested like that is a fun thing anyway. So anyway, that is some good stories, and let's tell folks one more time how they can get tickets to go see this wonderful show.
Yes, head to our website. That is stagelefttheater.org. You will find a tab for tickets. Click on there and look for our event, Sipping and Sonnets.
Sipping and Sonnets. That final iteration start out as Drunk Shakespeare, and that's what we did it. So, you know, people will be sipping. We'll be probably sipping.
There will be some sonnets.
Some sonnets, mm-hmm. I think. And mm-hmm. then, yeah. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Out and About. And for those of you so inclined, please stay tuned to Jim Hightower is coming up. And then... Oh no! Is she okay? Get the smelling salts. Jim Hightower, and then we've got Amy Goodman, and then if I remember to turn on the automation this week, and then we've got after that we've got some great reggae, locally produced show that is wonderful. So stay tuned to KYRS. There's no reason. Get rid of your television. Cancel your cable. This is all you really need. KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. Bye for now. Travel to fire. Learn to play the guitar. We'll stay out late. And I can dream like a boy. Spend all my money on toys. And get them late.
Attacks a hen house? Is it uncivil for the hens to raise a ruckus? 2 Supreme Court justices say it is. Elevating collegiality above social justice, right-wing extremists Amy Coney Barrett and progressive jurist Sonia Sotomayor have jointly been hailing America's top court as a model of genteel political discourse, claiming that the 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats disagree agreeably. "We do not interrupt one another, and we never raise our voices," Barrett primly lectured to a recent conference of civics teachers. Sotomayor chimed in that court decorum frowns on any internal comments that, quote, could be viewed by other justices as hurtful. How sweet that the Supremes are so judiciously cordial inside their marble sanctuary. But how bitter that the court's lockstep Republican ideologues are so crudely slapping down women's rights, running roughshod over our environmental protections, stomping on voting rights, enthroning plutocracy, imposing theocracy, and so awful much more. Yet when any of the three progressive justices do publicly assail these blatantly partisan anti-democratic edicts, Barrett decorously decries their stridency, demurely chiding that, quote, the court should turn the national temperature down, not up. Yoo-hoo, Madam Supreme, can you even hear yourself? Your very elevation to the high court was a strident affront to our democracy and to the very idea of justice, rammed through in a flagrantly partisan power play by a lame duck president and a corrupt Republican senator. Please spare us your phony lectures on judicial propriety. This is Jim Hightower saying, America would still be an English colony if the rebels of 1776 had not stridently risen up and confronted the kind of elitist governmental authoritarianism that Barrett and company want to reimpose on us. Democracy demands that we progressives be confrontational, not courtly. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hi, this is Les from the Radioactivity Show. You're listening to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS receives support from Gordy's Sichuan Cafe, a classic Chinese and seafood restaurant located on Spokane South Hill. Open for lunch, dine-in from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and takeout 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Now open for dinner, dine-in Friday and Saturday evenings. Gordy's Sichuan Cafe, located at 501 East 30th Avenue, with online ordering at gordysspokane.com.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The result of the voting is as follows. 14 votes in favor, 0 vote against, 1 abstention. The draft resolution has been adopted as Resolution 27-28-2024.
Israel's continuing to attack Gaza despite a vote Monday by the UN Security Council calling for a temporary ceasefire during the month of Ramadan. The U.S. abstained, sparking outrage from Israel, which wanted the U.S. to veto the measure. We'll speak with Craig McIver, a former top U.N. official who resigned in protest over Israel's assault on Gaza. But first to London, where a British court has put the extradition of Julian Assange on hold until the United States